Vibe Astrology.
Welcome, everyone, to call number 4 in Astrology for Deliberate Creators. We got another exciting topic today. Before we dive in, let's get a hello from Kim. How are you, girlfriend?
Hey, really good. Thrilled about this call coming up.
Me too. I actually think there's a ton of fun for us to have with this, so I'm inclined to jump right on in. But do you want to covering any of last week's material or any forum stuff before we jump in?
I think we've all got the drill down pretty good now. There's room on the forum to, if you want to post your homework or post any questions that you have. Thank you for those who have been sharing and posting and jumping in, because it just makes things more expanded. And I guarantee if you have a question, there's somebody else with that same question too, and they're just a little bit shyer than you. So they're really happy when you type up.
I'm learning from the stuff you guys are posting in the rookie Q&A thread. So,
well, I'm learning new ways to explain things. So hopefully we all get a good learning curve, and I can find some powerful tools for teaching. So it's all win-win happening over there in the rookie thread. So yeah,
I'm making you work it, Kim. So I'm appreciating it very much.
I like to think of it as keeping it active, not making Kim work it.
Yes, that's right. No,
we like activity.
Yes, exactly. You like to jump in. Nothing worse than going on to a blank wall. So, yeah, the more the merrier. So anyone, those listening to the call, I know a lot of people in this course were not able to make the call time, so you listen to them later. And I want to make sure you know that you're more than welcome and invited to communicate on the forum any questions you have or insights that are coming up. Don't hesitate to just jump in.
That's all right, right on. So today, woohoo, we get to have some fun with Jupiter. Our topic is scripting for abundance, how to tap into Jupiter and boost manifestation sky high. So many ways to play with this, Kim.
There are, and it's I spent hours on the notes, adding things, taking things out, because it just got so expansive. And whenever I tap into Jupiter energy, as you do when you just simply talk about this planet, about this archetype, everything just starts to go over the top.
Oh, and, explain what happened. Well, we got a lot to cover in 1 hour.
Yes. So I'm trying to Jupiter doesn't like to be reined in or even hear those words. But we are going to run through the material. And again, if we at the top of the hour, if we're out of time, we simply carry on in the forums. And you have extensive notes this week. They get longer and longer, I think. But anyway, you've got 8 or 9 pages of notes to reference back to. So anyone who doesn't get the notes, let me know, but they come out with each call announcement. You'll find them at the as an attachment. Sometimes those attachments aren't real obvious, so check for attachments. All right.
And I will say I learned some things just in conversation with you while we were preparing for this call. I learned some things that I didn't know before, so
Good.
Jupiter brings us an abundance of all things, right? It isn't just an abundance of money or an abundance of love, but an abundance of learning, an abundance of inspiration, and all sorts of good things, right?
Exactly. It's this key thing to know about Jupiter. We're jumping around here, which Jupiter loves, but the key thing to know about Jupiter is it's the principle of expansion. The ancients called it the greater benefic, and the idea of Jupiter is, and this is similar to the ninth house and Sagittarius energy, they're all related, those three things, is that it takes us somewhere we've never been before. So it expands our horizons. Sorry, throat. It expands our vistas. We add to, become more than. This is not rehash of old material. It expands confidence. It expands enthusiasm. The key thing about Jupiter is, its key question is, Do you feel energized? Do you feel enthused? If you're not enthused, it's a sign of a wrong for you goal. This is, you are not on the path that's lighting you up. If you're not feeling it, I know that sounds obvious, but sometimes we get working on projects or we're in relationships or whatever, and we are not feeling enthusiasm. This is the throw back the covers, jump out of bed, arms up to the sky, I want this to happen, enthusiasm. And if you're not feeling that, then Jupiter's not on board, confidence isn't there, the feeling of being able to create abundance isn't there, and basically it's the air out of a balloon. So having Jupiter on board is simply symbolic of being amped up, excited. What does Abe say? Turned on, tapped in.
Tuned in, yeah, tapped in, turned on, yeah.
All that.
Aligned.
Aligned.
So, in deliberate creation work, we talk a lot about expansion, about how, you know, the don't wants create new desires, and we're all about, you know, keeping up with how our expanded higher self, you know, where that's going and how to allow that. But, Kim, I'm wondering about how, you know, how you have that one chart where with the planets where you say, if you love me, and each one has a different way of showing love. What is it for Jupiter or for Sagittarius?
Oh, well, for Jupiter, it would be something like, if you love me, release me. No fences. Let me go. Jupiter is a natural, if you relax and allow, Jupiter catapults you to new horizons. Jupiter will expand. You are constantly expanding unless you're spending a lot of energy holding that back, repressing it, or stopping it.
Okay.
Jupiter is expansion. So, and if you love me, then let's go. Giddy up. It's like new horizons. And it doesn't mean travel. You don't have to get on a jet airplane and go somewhere to another culture or somewhere you've never been before to evoke Jupiter or feel like you're allowing expansion. We're composed of mind, body, and spirit. So you can expand your mind through higher education, philosophy, just studying the law of attraction, coaching, dealing with people. There's all kinds of ways to expand your mind where you take these quantum leaps to new awareness. That's Jupiter. Spiritually, you do it through meditation. You take that part of you that is non-corporeal and you expand out and connect with the oneness of all life. And there's a million ways to do it, but when you do that, you're tapping Jupiter. And you can physically do it with your body by doing something you've never done before or taking yourself somewhere physically. But all these are about Jupiter and also the corresponding Sagittarius, the natural sign of Jupiter, and the ninth house, which is the natural house of Jupiter. All these principles wrap into this these three key areas. So I forgot what the question was, but I know my mind with Jupiter is going to go off over the edge.
I like what you said in the notes about how what's really going on when we experience Jupiter energy is that we begin to believe in ourselves. And I
this
think
is
that
really,
yeah,
this is really important. And I actually quoted you this just wonderful statement that's just sums it up so beautifully, where you say the power of the vibrations of confidence, commitment, and belief can turn dark horses into champions, long shots into heroes, and underdogs into top dogs. That's Jupiter. Tap into Jupiter and it immediately boosts confidence. You know, you've seen people that are over the top Jupiter. They have no balance to their Jupiter because Jupiter is very much a planet of extreme. Like, it likes to take it as far as it possibly can. And you've run into people whose energy just feels so big and so self-confident that it seems like their bubble is enormous, and you have to take a step back. Have you ever met people where you just unconsciously you'll step back from, and and your head kind of goes back, and your eyeballs pop open, and here they are. They're larger than life. this is an extreme example.
Maybe even
confidence.
Excess is the word that comes to mind. Like
yes, excess. It can be. Because even though what it, Mae West said, too much of a good thing can be wonderful, actually too much of a good thing in some areas can be it may be wonderful to the person experiencing it, but it can be too much. We've all had that sense of, okay, this is too much. It's overbearing or it's over the top. But when we're in a space where we're wanting to create something, and often when we want to create something that isn't real in our lives yet, so that what we see is not reflecting what we really want, our confidence is often a little bit shaky because mm-hmm. we're not seeing the results yet. And that's when Jupiter can be a great ally, when we want to boost that up and get a little bit more than or a lot more than.
Well, I'm excited to share how Jupiter can help us do that, because we know in deliberate creation world that vibration, that positive expectation, that confidence, that belief, that's magical energy. And when we are flowing doubt or fear or not sure about something, that's not empowered energy. Not that we don't still manifest things, you know, that we weren't necessarily fully expecting, but it is such a conducive frequency to have that. I heard a coach coaching with it today, and she brought such brilliant confidence to the session with her client that I was able to witness, you know, just listening in on the session, how powerful another person responds when someone else is confident about what they can do that's going to work. And it's the same for us. You know, we respond, universe responds very well when we're flowing that confidence. And if Jupiter can help us get there, then it's a powerful thing to leverage.
That's such a good metaphor. I love that. We need to put that in the notes. Write that down, someone, and send it to me. Because that's so true. And that confidence is part of coaching and counseling. You're able to loan out a bit of that energy to someone, and they can boost up and get a feeling for the vibration. You lift them up. And what a beautiful bigger picture to see how when we send, even if it's just a smidgen more confidence, the universe is going to come back and show us the confident results. It's just like when, so many examples, but if you're trying to pitch a deal, let's say you want to pitch a movie, and, you know, you go into the room and there's the producers, and if you're just kind of shaking and you're mumbling and, you know, well, this is my idea and, you know, it's all blah, 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 or you are chest out, head up into the room, animated, talking about this film, loving this film, who's the producers going to throw their money at?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're going to throw their money at the person that gave them a sense of confidence, because if you're confident in yourself, they're going to feel confident in you. That's the universe. Mm. The universe is dialing in the same way to us. So that's a really good point. Thank you. Now, we're going to get into scripting today. That's kind of our LOA topic. But before we do, I want to make sure we're all on board with two basic concepts, and they are the difference between a natal planet and a transiting planet. I'm just going to explain it once, and then we're just going to do a quick check-in to make sure everybody's on this page. So we've heard this before, but when you are born, it's a frozen moment in time. It's like someone took a camera and took a snapshot of where the planet, sun, and moon were in that moment. Zap. There we go. We froze it. So if you were born, I was looking at when GVA was born. We've got this chart in our notes. When GVA was born, Jupiter was at 6 degrees of Gemini. Snapshot, there it is, and that is the natal position. Natal, nativity means birth, and this is the birth chart or birth horoscope. So we've got an arrow there in your notes pointing to Jupiter in orange, in the Gemini, the two pillars, which is the sign of the twins, 6 degrees of Gemini. So there it is inside the wheel as a natal position. Okay. Of course, Jupiter doesn't stay frozen in that moment in the sky. Jupiter keeps moving. Jupiter moves through one sign every year. So it takes 12 years to go right round the zodiac. So here we are. Wow, we've been running almost a year. I just realized. Because here we are with Jupiter. If you look at the notes, Jupiter written on the outside of the chart, just a little bit up counterclockwise from the natal position. There's an arrow pointing to it. Jupiter, which looks like the symbol of the four, is at 3 degrees of Cancer. Okay, so it's moved nearly 30 degrees. It's moved 27 degrees forward, and it is now transiting there in the fifth house. It's moved from the fourth to the fifth. So we have our natal positions, which is our natal chart that we have all once and for always, and then the transits, as the name implies, keep moving. And they move around the chart. We can plot them moving around the chart and see where they are at any given time. Another year from now, Jupiter will be at 3 degrees of Leo up there in the sixth house in this particular example. Okay, so there is a tutorial. There are two tutorials on understanding the transits. There's a link to those in the notes right at the top. Understanding Transits Part 1 and 2. Let us know if anyone has any trouble. I think Jen had trouble accessing the videos. You may have to upgrade your Flash Player. Check into that, but they should all be available. But let us know if not. Now, is everyone on the call clear on the difference between a natal planet and a transiting planet?
I am, but I'm curious as to if it goes through each one of the planets every year, then why is it going to, it seems like it would,
through
I guess
sign.
I'm wondering why in another year it's going to be in the sixth house versus the fourth house right now.
Because we're going counterclockwise. Everything's moving. You got to look at this count. Remember, in the underscored that it's moving counterclockwise.
And it's in the fifth house right now, Julie. So in a year from now, it'll be in the sixth house.
Yeah. Are you looking in the notes on page 2?
Yeah, I'm looking at the notes right now.
Okay, great. So you can see where we were to start with in the fourth house. A year later, we're in the fifth house. The next year, we're in Leo in the sixth house. The next year, we are in Virgo in the seventh house, and so forth. So, and this is just Jupiter that spends a year in each sign. The moon goes
through. A year in each sign. Okay. So I thought you were saying it went through each sign. I was hearing it as...
Yes, it transits.
It went through all 12, within a year. So I was like, 12 months?
Right, gotcha.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so it spends 1 year in each sign, transiting
each
from
sign.
0 degrees of that sign to 29 degrees of that sign till it moves into the next sign. And
that will be... Julie, that will be true for
slower-moving
planets. I don't know which one might spend a year in each sign. Which are there any that
no,
move
Jupiter's
about that?
No, Jupiter's the only one that spends a year in each sign. The next planet, the slower planet, is Saturn. He spends 2.5 years in each sign.
Got it.
Ah, okay.
The moon, as we know, the moon goes through all 12 signs of the zodiac every month. It spends about 2.5 days in each sign. So the moon zips right around your chart.
Okay. See, that's just one of those basics that I just wasn't aware of how each planet moved,
Yes.
certain
well,
amount
of course,
time each year.
I'm, This is a good point to mention, because we've Jeanette and I have had different emails over time asking for more basic astrology information, and we've got it for you in the Astro LOA 101, which is a much more extensive course focusing on the mechanics of the astrology and how it ticks.
Yeah.
So everyone, of course, is welcome to delve deeper if they're finding themselves excited about the actual how the astrology is really working. Believe me, there's plenty more where that came from.
Yeah. No, I've been going through the information. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So if everyone's clear on the difference between natal and transit of the given planets, that's an important point to be on board with. If you're listening to the call and it's still confusing, shoot me an email so that we can get you right up to scratch, or post a question on the forum, and we'll be there to help. All right, because today we are going to look at where Jupiter is in your natal chart and also where Jupiter is transiting for you. And let me point out right away that Jupiter is, we're going to talk about scripting, of course, we're getting there, and Jupiter is not the only planet that can boost our scripting abilities and boost our deliberate creation. It's just the one we're focused on this week. Every single planet has something to offer as an ally, and we're going to talk more about that next week. Also, every house in your natal chart can give you hints on your best approach to scripting in that area of life. So this one-hour talk isn't going to include every single possibility, but we're going to hone in on Jupiter to start with.
Kim,
right.
I was wondering if this is an accurate way to think about it. I was thinking about the power for deliberate creators to harness Jupiter. Am I saying it or thinking of it right when I think of, like, there's huge energy flowing there already, and it's like by consciously engaging or being intentional or focused with one of our manifesting techniques like scripting, we're allowing that energy to flow better on our behalf. It's like that energy is already there. Let's use it.
Oh, God, yes, yes. This is divine given energy. This is the universe's gift to you. You're sitting on the bank of a stream wanting to manifest something in that stream. Janet and I played with ideas of getting in the right stream for your manifestation, which is really fun. But let's just say that you're on the little you're on land right now, and there's this stream in front of you, and it's there's an arrow up there that says, you know, this way to your pot of gold. And you step into that stream, and you will find ribbons of Jupiter energy floating by. All you need to do is grab one of those ribbons, which means acknowledge this energy and feed it, boost it, amp it up, find ways to honor it. In ancient times, all the energies of the planets were seen personified as gods and goddesses. And people who wanted, they wanted good travel experiences would make a sacrifice or an offering to Hermes or to Mercury. If they wanted a beautiful love relationship, they would go to Aphrodite or Venus's altar and make an offering there. They're pointing their energy towards the vibration of what they want to manifest. And that's all we're doing here. We just talk about it in different terms because we're not seeing them as personified deities, but energy within ourselves that we tune into. And the way to connect with it is to honor it. And that means feed it, nurture it, give it, allow it to live in the way it wants. So if you have Jupiter in the third house, you're going to want to talk and speak and write and communicate. If you feel tongue-tied, if there are reasons why you have held back your communication skills, your Jupiter's pinched off and you're not tapping into it and you're not feeling that flow of abundance. So doing whatever it takes to open yourself up to new horizons in that area of life is going to amp up your Jupiter and get you in the flow. If your Jupiter is in the seventh house of relationships, then it's going to be through your connections, partnerships of either business or intimate with other people or in counseling, being a counselor, that across the table, personal one-to-one connection that is going to boost your life and open you up. And if for some reason you have not entered into that area of life, then you're not tapping into your Jupiter. So yes,
I love the way you describe that, Kim. I like that more than I was thinking of it as, like, I'm going on a trip, and if I stop to fill my vehicle with Jupiter, that's like jet fuel. That's like, this is good stuff to
that's
travel
rocket
with.
Rocket fuel, honey.
Yeah.
It is. And That's,
so
and you combine that with your Mars. Okay, we're going to talk more about this next week. But you get that hooked up with your Mars, and you are going to another universe. You're going to zap yourself, you know, out of this world. And this is another thing that Jupiter really has to offer when we talk about confidence is, you know, Jeanette, how you talk about making sure you're aiming high.
Mm-hmm.
That your sights are set on what you really
Sagittarius
want.
Can help us with that, yeah.
Yes, and Jupiter can too, and it's where we get that confidence to really shoot for what we want, not what we think is more reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'll go for this because it's more realistic, air quotes. Will Smith does a wonderful talk about going for the unrealistic, which I'll post that link in the forum because it is so freaking
inspiring.
And it's total Jupiter. He is just a mouthpiece for Jupiter the way he talks. So I will find his chart too and see where Jupiter is. It'll make
sense. Ooh, have fun.
Yes. Okay. So I hope that's clear, and are you all starting to feel that the bigness of Jupiter and what this means to us in our lives? I hope this is all starting to bubble up for you, because what we want to do now is think about turning our attention towards Jupiter and starting to speak as if we were that god, as if we were Jupiter. Like all Jupiter. Remember at the beginning I said that big energy with the, you know, big vibe and big confidence and over the top, and you know, people have to step back when you walk in the room. It may not be what you want to use on your first date, but for tapping into scripting, this is where you want to go. Because let's face it, when you script, you got to really have some balls to say this stuff.
You know,
it's we don't see it happening in the world. You got to get somewhere in the confidence realm, don't you think?
I couldn't agree more. And this is interesting because just last week I was addressing a new group. These were not, they were new to LOA. They were new to it. And when one of the things I wanted to teach them was how to claim something before it's real, because we're not creators if we wait until something happens before we feel that way. So whether we're feeling it or thinking it or speaking it or living it, to claim it first was the point of my talk, and I actually introduced myself by practicing this when I said, "Hi guys, I'm Jeanette Ma, the LOA coach expert, founder of an online LOA empire, and I'm also the supreme master of miracles, bringing infinite magic and endless possibilities to light for all." That was Jupiter, wasn't it?
That's total Jupiter. That's fabulous. That's wonderful. And it's all totally, I mean, I wouldn't bat an eye hearing that. I believe every word of it.
Well, it came from old intentions, from my business plan, from what I signed up with on Tut Notes, and from the I Am statement I made in coaching work with Gina Gabellini 10 years ago.
Wow.
When I first started, I was shaking in my boots to type on my business plan, the LOA coach expert, in the face of all these others who are already the experts. Who am I to claim that? But Jupiter can help us do that. Jupiter can help us embrace it before the world agrees with us.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So scripting, Jeanette, I'm going to let you talk about scripting, because not just because you're the LOA expert of the world, but also
the
you're the scripting expert of the world. You don't have to tell all your stories, but oh my God, your scripting inspires me just off the scale.
Well, I'd love to share about it, and I will say that we're talking about scripting, but Kim, I love that you included in the notes the other manifesting techniques we can use as well: visualization, journaling, acting as if. There are a lot of different ways for us to use LOA to set our Jupiter on fire. Maybe that's not exactly the right way to think about it, but
no,
scripting is the one
like
we're
that.
Yeah. scripting is the one we're talking about here. But there are plenty of other ways to harness Jupiter energy. And scripting, the way I learned it, some other people, when they say scripting, they mean writing it out. But when I say scripting, I learned it as speaking it out loud. And what I learned is that when we speak something out loud as if it's already done, we're creating extremely powerful alignment to our desire. So instead of the things that we often say, like, I want this, or I wish I had that, or why don't I have this, as we speak those words, we reinforce that truth. When we speak the words as if our desire is already a done deal, we send a completely different frequency out to universe or the field, the matrix, whatever you want to call that, and it responds in kind. So it's a really powerful way to create vibrational alignment to what you want. And Kim, you shared my story from Pray Rain journaling, the very first time that I did this in writing, where I wrote about what I wanted as if it was a done deal. The thing that I wanted, it manifested within like an hour and a half. It was 2 hours tops from the time I wrote something down that was so out, like it was so fantasy oriented that there was absolutely no way I really truly believed something like that could happen. But in the minutes where I'm saying, isn't it great how, and X, Y, and Z, and I fill in the details as if it's already a done deal, universe is getting the signal. It says, holy shit, Jeanette's rocking it. And it's got to find a way to match me, to match what I'm saying. So I don't know if I want to repeat the Pray Rain journal story, but the scripting one, I don't know. I don't know if it's helpful to hear those. Or it's already in the notes. I don't know if we should take up time with my particular story. But what we're doing with scripting is speaking about it as if it's already a done deal, because many of us don't actually know the words for what we want. We know the words of not having the desire, but we don't know the words for having it. And to learn those words, to learn that alignment, whether we're doing it in terms of words or using some other manifesting technique, where, like, okay, what would we see? What would we feel? How would we behave? When we find a way to send the signal that says, done deal, magic stuff happens. The way I love Allie's example from season 5 on Biggest Loser. I quote her as inspiration all the time. When they, on this reality show for losing weight, it's called Biggest Loser, whoever loses the most weight wins like $250,000. And it was season 5 of this, and everyone knows that the biggest guy with the most weight to lose is going to be the winner. That's how it's been in 4 seasons prior. And they do an interview with all of the contestants, and they do it like every episode. They check in with them, you know, they're amping up the emotional factor for the audience and asking them to basically say why they want to win. And they'd give answers like, oh, I want to show my kids that anything is possible, or I have to win because my life depends on it, or I've never been happy with myself, and this is what it's going to be required in order for me to feel good about living. They'd all have different answers, but when they talk to Allie, every time, the littlest girl, this girl has no business claiming this, but every time they would interview her, she would say somewhere during the interview, usually at the front of it, I am the biggest loser. She would just claim it just like that. She wouldn't talk about why she wants it. She would just claim it. I am the biggest loser. She did it so powerfully, so inspiring. And she even said it after she got voted out, because every week they got to vote someone out. She's getting escorted off the ranch, and she's in tears. She's upset about it. And she's still saying, I don't understand. I'm the biggest loser. She's still saying it. And that was the first season where they had a secret twist, where the people who got voted off got to compete for one of them to get a seat to come back on the show. She not only won that seat, she came back onto the show to beat Mike and Roger, who were offering the strongest competition anyone's ever seen in Biggest Loser history for winning. She beat out both of them. And there's no doubt in my mind that her willingness to claim at first was a big reason why she was able to steal the win from them. That girl had no business claiming that. Just like I had no business claiming I am the LOA coach expert.
But if you claim it and you believe it and you're vibing it, like you said, the universe, it has no, there's no question.
You're undeniable, and you might have to practice it a while before it really feels believable. Like I said, when I first was typing it down, I was embarrassed even putting it in my computer, let alone, you know, be able to speak it out loud to someone else. But we'll grow into it. The more we repeat it, the more we grow into it. So repetition can be powerful here as well. To just create more familiarity and more comfortability with it, you know, because sometimes what we're saying feels really not where we're at, but repetition.
It feels like we're lying to ourselves. It feels like we're boasting about something that's absolutely not true, and not everyone's comfortable with that.
And it's required. In order for us to allow something new and big in, we have to find a way for that to be cool with it, and this is one of the ways that we create that. It's because the people who are attached to what's so and aren't willing to say something that isn't true yet are seriously handicapped in creating something new. So our willingness to tell the lie, fake it till you make it, you know, to brainwash ourselves into a new reality, that's what we're doing here, is we're just practicing ways to alter our frequency so this can become our experience.
Yes. Absolutely. And on a physiological level, you're creating new neural pathways. When you say something new for you, you are breaking new territory, and you are, your old pathway might be, I'm not good at this, or I'm so new at this.
I hope this works. Here's what mine was. When I was building my coaching practice, this isn't going to work. You're going to have to get a job. That's the thought that came up, and I knew, no, that's
okay,
not
that
what
was
I'm
your,
creating.
Yeah.
What I'm creating is, I'm a brilliant coach in high demand, and even when the rest of my world did not agree with me, and I was the only one telling that story, I knew if I stuck with this story, universe has to make it true. I don't even have to figure it out. I don't have to make it happen myself. I don't care how impossible it is. Here's how it is for me. I'm a brilliant coach in high demand.
That's it. And you just said it. It's the contrast between your old story, this isn't going to work, I'll have to go back to my old job, or you tell a new story. It's really that simple. The new story is what is going to create the new pathways, which is going to coincide with the new vibrational alignment, which is the new signal to the universe, which is guaranteed to change your life.
It has
and
to. It's law of attraction.
What
yep.
Your scripting, it's, yeah, it is law of attraction. So, absolutely. I just love this. And Jeanette, I love the enthusiasm and clarity with which you deliver this. It excites me and reminds me that that original statement of yours,
yeah,
you know, is has come completely true. So here's where we're going with this. We got about 20 minutes left on the call, and what we want to do is focus in on our Jupiter, first where it is in the natal chart, where we naturally have waiting for us in this stream. There's a stream rushing by, and we have this fast lane to confidence, optimism, abundance, expansion. It's there. All we have to do is step into that stream. And that can mean going into the area of life described by the house. Let's remember that the planets, remember the three things that we've talked about, the planets are what is operating, that's the energy. The signs tell us how it's operating, that's the costume it wears, the style. And the houses tell us where it's operating. So if your Jupiter is in the seventh house and you are wanting to boost your confidence and optimism on abundant, fabulous, expansive relationships of all kinds, then you want to start out by doing some seventh house things. Sometimes,
are we talking natal or transit, Kim?
Both. It's both, okay. But if we want to start with the natal, so we can all look, I hope you all have your charts in front of you, or you might know in your head where your Jupiter is natally and what sign it's in. But if the first thing we want to do is go into that house. Picture it as this as a complex. Your whole your chart, let's say, is this giant estate, and on it are 12 houses, all with different kind of landscaping and different a different vibe and different decor. You want to go into the house, knock on that door, and go into the house which you find your Jupiter. And you will enter into the house that coincides with the various things of that house. So if it is the seventh house of relationship, it's going to be all those kind of equal partnerships, whether it's coaching relationships or business partnerships or intimate relationships. It's those committed partnerships. And you, to begin to find your Jupiter, you got to go into the house. So people who are really wanting, you know, let's say they want to find one of the ones. I love the way you say that, Jeanette. One of the ones, because I do believe there are many ones. But let's say you want to find a solid, grounded, committed, personal one-to-one, intimate relationship, and you're not in one. So let's say you're not, also you're not in a business partnership, and you don't, you're not a coach, and you just don't do any one-to-one activity at all. And it feels like you're very much on the outside, and this relationship of your dreams is, it's so far in the distance you can't even glimpse it. You want to step into the seventh house. If Jupiter's there, you want to step into that house so you can activate this energy in you. You don't have to go directly into, I'm dating this person and it looks like we're going to, you know, commit. You don't have to go there. Go to some other more less charged area of your seventh house. It might be start up a little business idea with someone. Get some counseling. Get a coach, because you're activating your seventh house when you're coaching or being coached. Either one is fine, because you are activating that energy. There are ways for you to. Well, the seventh house, ironically, also rules open enemies. So if there's someone out there in your life that you haven't cleared things up with, but there's some, you know, buried energy there, go confront them. Confront them, sort it out. And any of those things will activate your Jupiter and give you more confidence and more energy and more stimulation and enthusiasm to get going on this deliberate creation of the partner of your dreams. Does that make sense, how we go into the house where we find Jupiter or find the planet that we want to activate, and just start fiddling around in that house? You don't have to go straight to the big gun of what you want, because it may seem too elusive or it may be have too big a charge. Let's say that you want to, maybe Jupiter's in your eighth house, and what you really want is super lucrative, the ability to let's say, help other people find their fortunes, to be a financial advisor or coach, but you're not feeling confident about it. There are other aspects of the eighth house that can get you tapped into your Jupiter there. One of the obvious ones is to have sex. Or do a tarot reading. Get a tarot deck and start playing with tarot. Now, you might think there's nothing related to being a financial advisor or an abundance coach and your sex life or exploring tarot or the occult, but there is. All these ideas are wrapped around the energy of the eighth house. You only need to do one to really open the door and start lighting things up there.
That is cool to know. That is very cool to
know. Yeah, so when Jeanette and I list things about what the keywords for the house, you have to remember these are keywords. And again, in more depth of learning, whether it's Astro LOA 101 or whether you are continuing your studies on your own, there are books. There's actually one particular book that I would recommend. It's in the forum under resources by Howard Sasportis, brilliant humanistic psychologist and astrologer. He has a book called The 12 Houses. If you
it is a cool book, Kim, but there is nothing like hearing it from you. You guys, I got to say, when I saw the notes for today's call, I was like, all right, I'll go check out my Jupiter. It's in my natal's in 8, and I read the keywords for what 8 was, and I was like, I don't need any. That's not where I want to play with Jupiter. And then Kim told me what 8. She said, you wouldn't maybe like to make some more money with your business partners? I was like, oh, yeah,
like, hello.
Sure, let's do that. Of course, hello. And I realized there's so much more to play when you study the houses really well. But, Kim, you don't know this. In my vortex, however, is a call where you show us the houses through your eyes. I know there are other great resources out there that you love. I have had Howard's book for years. But hearing it from you, there's nothing better than that.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Obviously, we won't be doing it on this call, but you don't know. You're going to be doing that for us sometime.
Okay. No, I'm all on board with doing that. That sounds great. As a matter of fact, I think we do that to some extent in our 101, but it's even deeper. We could do a whole course on the houses. Just know that this study of astrology and its connection to the law of attraction is very deep and very rich. And if you don't see something in your keyword of where your Jupiter is by natal or by transit, then pop in the forum and say so, and I can give you the next 10 things it might be related to, and we'll find something that does spark you, because I guarantee you it's there, and these are just keywords. So please don't feel limited, especially when we're talking about Jupiter. So have that idea.
And what I sometimes do, if I really don't feel like I can bother Kim any more than I already have, I'll just do a Google search on, you know, the houses and read a variety of authors until I get something that really rings my bell.
Yeah, that's what you can do. And again, there are some of my favorite teachers and resources listed in the
Well, you're ours, Kim. So plan on stepping up. Nicole's in chat room.
Okay.
She says she would take a course on the houses. She thinks it's one of the most challenging aspects of astrology to understand. And I think it's rich. There's so much. To understand a house, wow, there's a lot of power there. And there's no one else I want to learn it from than you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's next then. Put that. You've already got your vortex. I need the memo, though, so I can start getting the material together. That sounds good. I like it. I love it. I love it. Okay, so we're going to look to what we're doing this week is we are going to, number one, identify where Jupiter is in the chart, in the natal chart to start with, what house that is, and we're going to think of some ideas of how we can activate that house. One way you might want to think about it is pretend for a minute that you're, here's the way to do it. Let's say it's your third house. This is just picking.
Oh, wait! We have real life examples. Oh. Yeah, Nicole has a third house. Jupiter,
oh,
right? Let me go back. Yes. Her Jupiter is in Virgo.
Okay, so third house.
In 3. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so third. So let's say it's in your third house. And just get yourself a little mission statement about where you're at with the written and spoken word. To what degree do you maybe give yourself a score between 0 and 10, 10 being the most possible and 0 being not much, of how well you feel like you communicate and how much you are learning and teaching and delivering in terms of knowledge and information and how expansive your consciousness is. And also think about little things like how you get along in your neighborhood and how you get along with your siblings. What's your inner community like? Just give yourself a little bit of a statement there and have a handle on where you're at with it. Then go into it with new eyes, looking at your Jupiter, and tell me, and just write that sentence out, what would Jupiter unleashed be doing when it comes to the written and spoken word in your life, communication, expansion of consciousness, connection with siblings, commerce, all the things that the third house is related to, thoughts, ideas, the mind. What is Jupiter's mind like? And give that statement. If there's any gap between the two, think of the Jupiter statement as where you can shoot that arrow. where you can reach and launch higher and become more of who you are. Does that exercise make sense?
It makes sense. I want to hear your personal example, Kim, and I'm also wondering about, do we have to keep Jupiter in check? I mean, is there such a thing as
yes.
too much?
There is, and I wanted to hint at that in the beginning when I talked about this character. I pictured it as a male. Tells you something about me. But anyway, it being this big energy and this big bubble, and everybody's like backing off to try to, you know, as he charges into the room, and it's bombastic and it's over the top. And it can be isolating to be that far over the top. So it depends. Like when we're scripting, you want that big energy. This is Zeus. This is the king of the gods on Olympus. He is calling the shots. And you want that energy when you're scripting, because we're scripting for something that does not yet exist. And we need to go over the top. It's over the top to say, I am, for Allie to say, I am the biggest loser. And here she is, the little skinniest loser, whatever. She had to get on board with that utterly bombastic energy. You can find that when Jupiter, particularly by Jupiter transits, or some people with Jupiter, let's say, conjunct the Sun in the first house, and it's all in Sagittarius, the energy can be so big that their ability to empathize and connect with, and their sensitivity to others might not be amplified, and maybe the Libra side and their Cancer side of their charts are underdeveloped, and they may want to go there to bring more balance, because in some cases, yes, too much of a good thing can be bulldozing.
Well, I'm thinking in 8th house, you know, Jupiter, or 8th house can be death and taxes, and I thought, well, do I really want Jupiter running rampant here, or could that possibly be like a whole bunch of passing? You know what I mean? Like, is it really okay to turn him loose?
He could. Okay, well, see, no, we are not doing a Saturnectomy. We are not taking away our ability to contain.
Okay.
We, just because we're going in and feeding this energy doesn't mean we're not tapped into other balancing factors. With Jupiter and death, I think what you get is this belief and this rich perception of the cycle of life, death, life, and the infinite possibilities of the human spirit. I think you get a very where Jupiter goes is like they get Jupiter gets information de novo. It's not like you learn it from your religious background necessarily, or you learn it from some guru or teacher. You go there. You have these personal or even like transpersonal experiences, out of body even experiences, where you go and glean this information. And so there can be. It doesn't have to mean World War Z. You see, and all this. I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait after your thing. But it doesn't mean like bodies piling up because you have Jupiter in the eighth. Okay.
All right. Good to know.
It's important to think of the Jupiter. It was the traditional ruler of Pisces, and there's a very powerful spiritual aspect to Jupiter that taps in around this cycle of life, death, life, change, and that sort of thing. With taxes, yes, maybe you might, I don't know, would you be inclined to give a little bit too much tax? It might be the opposite of the person who is going to make sure they don't get one red cent more than necessary, or... I'm not sure.
I can see where creativity comes into play here, and feeling around, like there isn't a formula but that we follow, but using our creative powers would. But and Nicole said the examples you shared about Jupiter and three were perfect examples. But Kim, I'd love to hear where yours is and hear how you might be using it. Just
okay.
Another
yes.
Example.
My Jupiter. throat tightening. Talking about self. My Jupiter. usually the case. My Jupiter's in the 11th house. Well, okay, we know the story how I have two birth times. And in one birth, they're 3 minutes apart. And in one, it's in the 10th, the very end of the 10th. And the other, it's at the very, very beginning of the 11th. Either way, I think whenever a planet is within even 10 degrees of a house cusp, we can read it having a great deal to do with that next upcoming house. So if we look at my Jupiter as being in the 11th house, we're looking at groups, organizations, associations, and like-minded others. And it's a Jupiter that can really thrive in the group situation, especially if they're leading or co-leading or bringing information, or it's in Gemini, so teaching, bringing information, bringing knowledge, imparting inspiration, wanting to enthuse. And this is in the house of one to many, so different from that seventh house one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's one to many and one.
This explains why in my vortex is you teaching us the houses inside and out.
I think so. Definitely. But can I just say that my Jupiter was not always activated in this area of life for many reasons, I suppose. But probably most of my life, this Jupiter energy was quite repressed and denied. So that confidence, feelings of enthusiasm, feelings of the ability to get up in front of, you know, hundreds of people and deliver and so forth, something I felt excited about and wanting to impart, was just the thought of it was crippling, absolutely crippling. I can give you an example of a scripting that it's really pretty recent, Jeanette, that I've been able to public speak. Not many years ago, is that the way to start a sentence? in the past, not long ago, I'm trying to think of it, less than 10 years ago, I was just recently published my first novel and was invited to a writer's festival to speak. I was invited to speak to something like three high schools all in one giant tent. It was over 1,000 teenagers. And can I just elaborate on this by saying that I had a terrible time in high school. I am loathe and terrified of teenagers, not my own or his friends, but I mean, this concept still triggers me back to horrific experiences in high school, et cetera, and just not feeling, I mean, I might feel more confident around little children or adults, but this teenage would be like my biggest challenge. So I didn't get eased in with, here there's 10 people who'd like to hear you talk about your book. Here are 1,000 people, only they're the medium teenage people, and most of them will be sitting there on their mobiles or asking you if you know J.K. Rowling. in this like the hardest audience you can imagine for me, and it's just like, of course I knew there was no question about don't do it, because I was stepping into this new self published author, and I was very excited about my first book and wanted to talk about the series and wanted to impart something to the teenagers. And I thought of ways to do it. I wanted to do a PowerPoint presentation, so I had these really cool images and could talk about, like, hero's journey and something relevant. And no, there would be no power. I would just have to stand up there alone with a microphone on stage and talk to these kids for 45 freaking minutes and keep them entertained. And there was over 1,000 of them. So I was pissing my pants, okay? I was terrified. But fortunately, I knew Jeanette. We were recent friends. And there was Jeanette imparted a lot of these ideas about scripting, and I just grabbed onto one, which she calls pre-paving. And instead of going into the utter so freaked out, throat closed over, eyes bulging out, not just not being able to communicate at all, I started lying to myself. I prepaved. I said, this is going to go really well. They are so excited. These kids are so excited about my book and about this upcoming series. They are riveted. They are hanging on my words. I made stuff up, and I said it to myself every time, which was pretty much 24/7 as the days ticked closer and closer to this gig I had to do. That's all I would allow. I would not allow. And even though my body, you know, that rushing feeling of adrenaline where your knees get weak and you feel like you're going to throw up, that was kind of constant. But I just kept painting over that with my pre-paving. This is how it's going to be. And I was pre-rain journaling at the time, and things like, isn't it great? It went so well. Wow, they've asked me back. This is fabulous. Look how many bought the book. They were so excited about it. On and on, even though it's not really, it's not a YA series at all. But anyway, this is where they put me. And isn't it interesting that the universe put me in a situation which would push every single freaking button possible in this area of life? Anyway, day comes, I get there, it's like going through you're just in this zone, you can't stop it, it's like you've gotten on a plane and you're not going to say turn around and go back. You have to, you're jettisoning and it's going there. And anyway, I got up, I did it, I delivered, and it was my first one. Looking back, it's certainly not the best thing I ever did, but I tell you what, I pulled it off in ways that we would never have thought. The person with my previous mindset, mm-hmm. my unprepaved, unscripted mindset, would probably have gotten, I didn't even want to imagine what would have happened. The tent would have collapsed so I wouldn't have had to walk in. I would have created something to stop it because I was so utterly insecure and underconfident and unable. But the pre-paving created a different story, and then I lived the story. Anyway, as you can tell now, the girl who doesn't shut up, it opened up new doors for me. Jupiter, because I met Jupiter halfway and said, yes, this is who I am. I stepped up to Jupiter, and Jupiter does not leave you in the lurch ever. Jupiter met me there, took over. I had kids emailing me. There were kids who drew little pictures of me and sent them to me and said, I love
wow.
you, and all this is so amazing. And it was, okay, I didn't mean to talk about that for so long, but it was
That's
important
cool.
for me to impart how when you get to your Jupiter, whether you are amping up your natal Jupiter or looking at where, right now, we can all look at where 3 degrees of Jupiter is, 3 degrees of Cancer in their chart. I've just had my Jupiter return, so I've got Jupiter in the 11th house for the rest of the year, which happens once every 12 years. It'll be in different places for everyone. And I want you to do the same there. I want you to go to that house and think of, first, what's your kind of mission statement in that area of life? And then write down, tell me what Jupiter's mission statement is, and see if there's a gap, and see if closing that gap might boost your life in ways that you hadn't imagined before.
You know, Kim, you're making me realize I kind of sort of maybe have already done this, because if I've got Jupiter on the cusp of 6, and 6 I think of service to others, and I think of that, what I just read last week to that new group about I'm the Supreme Master of Miracles, bringing infinite magic and endless possibilities to light for all. That's like Jupiter in high service, right?
That is absolutely correct. Bingo.
I want to say to you guys, we didn't talk about the power of an I am statement, but there are a lot of materials out there that remind us that whatever starts with I am is exceptionally powerful. So if you can incorporate that into your scripting, I think you'll be very glad that you did.
Beautiful. Okay, so our goal for this upcoming week is to script something new and script in the house where your natal Jupiter is and also where your transiting Jupiter is. And if for some reason those houses aren't lighting you up right now, or if there's something that just feels so much more important that you so much want to boost and amplify, then find out, look through the charts, and in your notes you've got, I've repeated the signs and houses so you can get the keywords there. Go to the house where that energy is. If you aren't sure, ask us on the forum. We'll point you to the house you want to go. And start scripting in that area of life, and you can use the signs on the cusp and in that house as allies. So if your Jupiter area of life isn't where you really want to focus right now, you've got some other burning creation, then pop it on the forum and we'll find the house and sign, and you can start to get some ideas about amplifying via those clues.
Sounds
fabulous.
Do we have
any questions? Yeah, it's going to be good.
No questions from chat room? Anyone dialed in? Who has questions? All right, I can't wait for us to go have some fun with Jupiter. Thanks, Kim, for giving us such a powerful look at what kind of fun there is to be had. And I'd really, really love for us to share with each other exactly how we're harnessing that, because I think we can get some really good ideas from each other. All right, then. Kim, if there's nothing else you want to add, I'll wrap up this call by thanking everyone for joining us. And is next week our last call?
Next week's our last call. We're going to talk about the planets as allies. And so we're going to have a fabulous time next week looking at where the planets are in our charts and what they have to offer.
Right on. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeanette, for all the
scripting. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.